With the ringing of that school bell, I welcome all the students back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. As you come to school, make sure you get your Bible along the way, and you'll want to turn it to the book of Luke, chapter 3. And we're going to be studying about John's preaching as we read about that in Luke chapter 3, beginning in verse 7. Now, we're going to have a little bit of a review as we get into this, but you be getting your Bibles ready, and we'll have this Bible class. While you're getting ready, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. And the saints have been gathering at that location, first in a brush arbor, and then in a little wooden building, and now in our brick building for over 100 years. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school, and we're looking at the Sunday school lessons that people studied many years ago. This particular lesson for October the 15th, 1922. And this, for the Warren County Radio Bible School, is lesson 125. And as we were concluding this lesson in our last class time, we were talking about the action of baptism. You see, John the Baptist was baptizing in the wilderness, but it also says that he was baptizing in Jordan. In fact, when you read those prepositions carefully, you'll see in the book of Mark that he was baptizing into Jordan. And upon being baptized, they would come up out of the water. Now, John was not sprinkling water on them. That would not be described in such terms. When you sprinkle water on someone, you're not placing them into the water, and they don't come up out of the water. We can tell by the context, the meaning of baptism in the New Testament. And we can tell what kind of action it was. It was an immersion or a dipping in water. And baptism in the New Testament is called a burial. In Romans chapter 6, in verse 3, Paul writes, "Are ye ignorant that all we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" Verse 4, Romans 6, 4, "We were buried therefore with him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we also might walk in newness of life." And that's not the only place that Paul wrote about that. We read in the book of Colossians, and this is Colossians chapter 2, and in verse 12. Let me read to you Colossians 2 and verse 12 says this, "Having been buried with him in baptism, wherein ye were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead." Baptism is so important. We've been talking about how baptism is for the remission of sins. You know, when I find out something is important and associated with the remission of my sins and the forgiveness of my sins, I know I want to get that right. If you have not been buried by baptism, if your baptism was not a burial, if it was not a dipping, if it was not an immersion, if it was something else, then listen. You show up sometime at the Rock Cliff Church of Christ and talk with me. We have a baptistry behind the pulpit, and we usually keep that water heated, and we have baptismal garments you can change into so you don't wet your own clothes, and I will gladly bury you in water upon your confession of faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and you come up out of that water a new creature. And that is what you need to do before you pass from this life into eternity. The prophecy concerning the work of John the Baptist is in Isaiah 40, verses 3 through 5. It is the voice of one that crieth, prepare ye in the wilderness the way of Jehovah. Make level in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the uneven shall be made level, and the rough places a plain. The idea is taken from the practice of Eastern monarchs who, whenever they entered in upon an expedition or took a journey through a desert country, they sent harbingers before them to prepare all things for their passage. And pioneers opened up the passage to level the ways and to remove all the impediments. John was this voice, this warning, this exhortation to the people. He was the harbinger of the great king soon to come this way and was preparing the way for him. He preached, really, in the literal wilderness, and he preached to Jews in the deserts of sorrow and sin. The harbingers of kings prepare the way for chariots and armies by filling up valleys, leveling down hills, and making straight roads through the wilderness and mountain passes. John prepared the way of the Lord by introducing the people to repent, and made his path straight by persuading them to forsake their crooked ways. All flesh, Jews and Gentiles, eventually saw the salvation of God in the gospel of Jesus. Now let me turn to the book of Luke. And we're looking at Luke chapter 3. And in verse, say, I think it's Luke chapter 3. Yeah, Luke chapter 3 and verse 7. It says that he said to the multitude, now this is John. John said to the multitudes that went out to be baptized of him, ye offspring of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children to Abraham. And even now the axe also lieth at the root of the trees, and every tree therefore that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Let's talk about the effects of John's preaching. It is obvious. John was a very bold and fearless preacher. His preaching greatly interested and aroused the people. There went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and they were baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins, Matthew 3, verses 5 through 6. Luke says the multitudes, not absolutely everyone, for some refused to be baptized, as we read in Luke 7, 29 and 30, but among the multitudes were many of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And to these especially he said, ye offspring of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Now you know what a viper is. A viper is a poison snake. John is calling these proud Pharisees and Sadducees that came to him an offspring of vipers. They're saying, your mother and father were snakes, and you're like poison snakes. This is direct, plain, and strong denunciation of sin. For this, John's speech was noted. This and his earnest exhortations to repentance greatly aroused and excited the people. They desired to flee from the wrath to come. No responsible person can be saved without repentance. Sin is sin, and people should be made to see its exceeding sinfulness and horribleness. The viper is a small, active, and very poisonous serpent. Those Pharisees and Sadducees claimed to be of the seed of Abraham, but God said they were children of the old serpent, the devil, a generation of vipers. They were noted for their religious forms and ceremonies and for keeping the traditions of the law, but not so much really the exact law itself. They were more interested in keeping the traditions of their fathers, and they were denounced by Jesus as hypocrites, filled with corruption. Their teaching was as ruinous and poisonous to the soul of men as the bite of vipers was to the body. John saw by inspiration the poisonous, deadly effects of sin as God sees them, and we can see them through God's revelation. We should hate sin now as we hate rattlesnakes and copperheads, and we should flee from it as if we would flee from these deadly serpents. It is to be feared that many have their names on a church book who have never repented, and they are deceived. Sin is as deceptive as serpents. The wrath to come is the awful destruction which awaits all who do not repent. The destruction of Jerusalem and of the Jews which followed the preaching of John is a type of the still more awful destruction of all the impenitent. Have you repented of your sins? All sins? Repentance now should be a burning theme with all preachers. Not repentance as a theory, but genuine, true repentance in practice. In John chapter 3 and verse 8, we see that John baptized multitudes and exhorted them to so live, so as they had repented. So in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 7, he therefore baptized Pharisees and Sadducees who came to his baptism and exhorted them to bring forth fruits worthy of repentance unto which he had baptized them. None could claim special privileges in the kingdom of Christ because they were the fleshly descendants of Abraham. John knew their hearts and their claims. God did not select Abraham arbitrarily. Abraham was a good man, a man of faith, and he therefore obeyed God. And hence his children were entitled to no special privileges because they were his fleshly descendants. I want to read to you about how Abraham obeyed God. We see this obedience in the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse 8, it says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed to go out to a place in which he was to receive an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing whether he went." We read about the obedience of Abraham in the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19, God says of Abraham, "I have known him to the end that he may command his children and his household after him, that they may keep the way of Jehovah to do righteousness and justice, to the end that Jehovah may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of him." We read about Abraham's obedience as well in the book of Genesis. Let me catch the text here. It is Genesis chapter 18 and in verse, not where I read, 18:19. This is Genesis 18, excuse me, Genesis 22, Genesis 22, beginning in verse 12 through 18. Here's when he was sacrificing Isaac on the altar, which he intended to do and did not. The angel said to Abraham, "Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything to him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." And Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, "In the mount of Jehovah it shall be provided." And the angel of Jehovah called unto Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, "By myself has I sworn, said Jehovah, because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thee, and thy seed shall be as the stars of the heavens, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." Hear it. "Because thou hast obeyed my voice." That's Matthew 23 and verse 18. "Because thou hast obeyed my voice." We need to walk in the steps of faithful Abraham and trust and obey.